Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Permission was the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
All right, folks. How are y'all this morning? All under the threat of level 5 from NPHET. Hopefully the government might see that they might just put Cork on level 7. So we won't have to listen to them and leave the rest of us on level 2 there. And the Dubs on 3. Chuck the Dubs on 4 as well. No, you're very welcome this morning. Coming off the back of the weekend, we have the usual suspects, and we're delighted to have Ger Cunningham with us as well today. Great to have you, Ger. How's the farm?
Morning, good deal. All good this morning. As you say, under the threat of level 5, it was a bit of a damper last night when that came through. I think for everybody, a bit of deflation coming home to hear level 5 as a possibility after, you know, we had a great game in Parkakee yesterday. Fantastic county final, and that was just to put a small dampener on it, like, you know, but other than that, fine, thank you.
I know.
The only positive about the level 5 deal, all right?
This is Mark Landers no less as well, yeah.
Okay, like, I was getting plenty of text messages there yesterday about level 6 because the United were bait 6-1. But if Carlsberg did weekends right, then came level 7. Liverpool bait 7-2 by the Villa. Oh, I'll tell you this much. What a weekend. I must say, really crowned off a fantastic weekend. Level 7 is what I'm hearing now at the moment.
Yeah, level 7, and I'd say he's on level 9 at the moment, also with us from home, I'd say today, not the office.
This is home.
Saved off Mr. TJ Ryan, and warm congratulations from everybody here on the examiner team. I know if Hoagie was here, or Derek, or Ken, we'd all be saying the same. What an achievement, 3 in a row, kid, going up there to South Galway. And no doubt when they get a gallon of porter into you today, there'll be talk of 4 in a row, TJ.
Yeah, thanks, Dale. Yeah, great win, great achievement by the lads. And look, just I suppose nice, the 3 in a row is a nice ring to it. And I would say that's me done. But in the short term, I'm hoping Tony Houlihan will let me up there for the afternoon. So I don't know when this lockdown is coming. So I'm hoping to speed you up here, Dale, all right? And maybe do we need to cover Cork today? And maybe we could just go a very, very quick run around. But
does that in Cork only two things? The Caelans playing against the place they live in, beat the shite out of each other last night. And then they went to penalties and all that.
Yeah, they
pucked head out of each other and went to a penalty shootout. And the other thing, TJ, there, we've no Christmas bonus to get because Mark Landers made a mess of our bet by tipping Castle Lines to win the Premier Intermediate. So, TJ, we won't be going to East Cork to collect the ball. Like, you must be the worst tipster. I mean, we went straight with our bet. You divided up your bets. Yeah. And you still couldn't come up with a winner.
Says your men that fell at the first hurdle, like yourself and the Bilbao, Larry and TJ, all gone in the first weekend. Like,
all gone early, yeah.
There was no teasing with us. And the pressure was on TJ, let me tell you, because we had all Thomas's in that bit.
TJ's crowd delivered, Dale. We had Kula up, and we had St. Thomas has got up yesterday, Ballyhale, Napier Sheik. Jesus Christ, the poor old, I cannot call him Spinana, some last toast now, I can tell you, on Saturday night in the county final.
Yeah. Lose a man like that too is massive.
Dale, still, to be fair to Mark, I think he deserves a lot of credit in fairness. He tipped the Rockies from a long way out. There was word in the street was he was on a 12s, he was on a 10s, he was on an 8s. So he had us well warned and well tuned, in fairness to him. So credit where credit is due.
I don't remember that at all, TJ. I don't remember Mark tipping Black Rock at any stage this year.
That's
did you hear anything about that, Ger?
No, I just only coming through to Roost there now, Dale. I wasn't involved in those betting at the start of the season, but I was wondering, sitting alongside Landers in up in the upper echelons of Parker Keev, why every score that Black Croc got was greeted with a fist pump.
So, absolutely. It's because they were beating UCC, John.
That's all, Martin. Game against Douglas. Douglas was the first game. I said, why is Landers shouting for Black Croc? He must be friendly with Fergal Ryan and John Brown and all the boys. But now that it's come home to roost, we have the real reason.
I feel played the Fergal Ryan and John Brown.
Yeah, and Mark, rumour has it, Mark, that the share price in Petty Power in Middleton at least might go down around lunchtime today. Like, when you go in, I don't want to talk figures now, but there's talk of changing cars and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
The happiest person in our house at the moment is my wife, Jackie, because she wants to do a small little bit of an extension to the back of the house. And I said, we can't afford it. This morning, she was up early daily reminding me of the extension.
Jesus, telling the missus about the bets, I tell you. That's the dangerous territory. You wouldn't catch TJ on that one, I bet you. TJ, we start with yourselves. You were atrocious in the first half, TJ. I text Mark. I says, TJ's in trouble here, kid. I said, 1-6 to 9 points after playing with the Storm. And you delighted it was going out Tatton Rye in that pure stadium to avoid the wind, like.
I know. And in fairness condition, the forecast was brutal, actually, for yesterday. But it didn't rain during the game. But the wind was strong enough and it was just gusty as well as... It wasn't kind of a constant strong breeze. But we didn't kind of handle maybe the conditions as well as we normally would. And the 5 or 10 minutes before half time, we had a couple of aimless shots at the post where we'd normally be good to use the ball and stuff like so. To go in a draw at half time wouldn't have been actually on the cards, like, for us. Like, we thought the win was definitely worth a couple of points. But, you know, when you have a backbone of Fintan at 3 and Shane Cooney at 6 and Davey Burke and James Regan in the middle of the field and Conor Cooney leading the attack and Dara Burke, it's a strong spine for a club team and they're tremendous leaders. And, you know, you can't win a county championship without guys like that, and to win 3 in a row is testament to all those guys. And I suppose I need to also qualify the other. Kevin Lally was manager of the team. It is a name that you will hear of down the road. I'm no doubt about it. He will be involved. I think he's actually just jumped in with the Galway under-17 team there for the rest of the season. But he's a name that you will hear of down the road for sure in future inter-county management.
Yeah, I know Kevin. He's an absolute gent as well. Like, he's a top hurling guy and you did a great job together. But, you know, I was making my few notes, Tej, as it was going on, like, and I have to say the streaming was first class and the analysts as well were a bit of a step up, like, from what we'd be used to there with Cork games there lately. two All-Ireland winning managers there as the analysts, and Micheál Donoghue and Sir Farrell such. But it was great covers. But I wrote down, it's here in front of me now, the notes from yesterday. Thomas's need the big guns now, and Jesus, did they stand, like, starting, as you said, with Fintan at fullback, like, what a second half display that man give. Like, I wrote down Fintan Burke totally defiant, you know, and to that kind of fullback play we'd have associated with Lohan and the Rock, even yourself when you went back fullback, TJ, despite beating the arse off streakers when they came onto the field. There was a defiance about Fintan, I thought, that fed up through the field. Like, you know, he won the first couple of balls and he came out and he let the fist up and kind of said, you know, come on, we're not beaten here.
Yeah, I know he's a real powerhouse. And I suppose, the truth be told, Dello, like, he would have kind of made his name at wing-back there and centre-back for the club. And it was a question, we played him wing-back in the first game. And I suppose I have to give credit to Claude Gagan, actually one of the selectors. He kind of talked us into moving him back to full-back there kind of about halfway through the championship. And I think he's going to pose a problem or a question, certainly, for the inter-county selectors. I wouldn't be for moving Dahi Burke away just very, very straight away, right? But he's certainly an option there if they wanted to play Dahi somewhere else. Now, I know Dahi was carrying injury yesterday, but I will agree with you. He's a proper leader. He's a gent as well. Like, he's just a lovely all-round guy. And what a performance again yesterday. I know Conor Cooney got man of the match, but I'm sure Fintan was very, very close.
Yeah, I know. And Conor got a brilliant goal to set you off, I suppose. But I would have had nothing against Conor now. He's some men into the wind to step up to those frees. I saw you running across the field there, having a word with him there for the one to level it. You did more running yesterday, TJ, I'd say, than a lot of your career.
I did. Well, when you were under the cash playing the breeze during the second half, I kind of felt this. We needed every inch. But like you said there, like, that was a vital free Like, when they went a point up there with, I think it was about 7 or 8 minutes normal time left in the clock, they were playing with the breeze. Like, you would have thought that this is going to be very, very difficult to get home from here. But that free was huge to bring it back level. And believe it or not, they actually, Turlough didn't score from their home. They got no score in the last 12 minutes of the game playing with the breeze, which is a fair testament to our full defence. Like.
Yeah, and I thought their best player was Sean Lennon up front. Like, you know, he very tricky, elusive. I know he's a nephew of the great Sylvie's. But the wide he had, TJ, that would have put him 2 up. And you would have been right in line with it because I could see her. And I had crossed off 4 and had him down for 5.
For 5, yeah.
Because this was nearly the easiest chance. But that would have put you 2 down into the wind and might have been huge in terms of the psychological effect.
Yeah. We were in the room we were last night there in the Lady Gregory and Gart. We were watching the game and that was a critical moment, I would agree with you there, to go 2 up there. And as you said, like, he had a faking game. He scored 4 points from play. He was elusive all day. It was tricky to mark. But that was a real, I suppose, one that got away from them. And I'm sure if they watch it today or tomorrow, that's the one I think they'll be talking about. To go 2 up there would have been huge. But I have to say, in the last 10-12 minutes, our guys, Dale, oh my God, the shoulder was to the wheel.
Oh yeah.
The hunger, like, Turlough haven't won a county title in 35 years, and to outfight him and out, like, if effectively just basically out battle them down the stretch, it was just incredible from all for us.
Yeah, did you get a big reception in Gart? Were there many out along the road there in Gart to welcome you into the town?
No, Dale, I think that's on the cards for later today. I think all the Gart lads will be out.
We know where this is going.
Will you be going to Josie Hart's with the cup?
Yeah, I'm hoping to call in there for one later on today, Dale. Will you book me a table?
I will. I'll ring Josie. There's no problem. He'd be thrilled with Thomas's winning. Like, you know, he'd be the very same as me, being delighted to see Newmarket winning the championship here in Clare. Like, you know, I'd be just delighted. Like, you know, you'd be happy for your neighbours always. Like, but come here, Tej. You had a small. I mentioned how often you were on the field, and it was very noticeable. No, I have to say, we've this new iPad in the house here, and the picture is unreal. Like, to be honest, which is better on the television, and that's what I had you on. Like, ex-Galway footballer Barry Cullinan spotted you going over questioning the linesman there in the second half. I think it was Sean Loftus had a shot and it was disallowed actually after being given. But you had a word with the ref. You got the linesman to change the ref's mind, I think. Barry took exception to that, TJ, did he?
For whatever reason, there's a lot of people in Galway that don't like me having a word with referees. I've never given out to any of them, okay? I was really just trying
to see. It's not exclusive to Galway.
Oh, sorry, yeah, not exclusive to Galway. I was just checking with Alan to make sure that he was happy with the decision. That was all. I was just having a conversation with him. And he actually confirmed to me that it was actually a point. So I was happy enough and I left. That was it. Barry misunderstood me. Again.
I tell you, if Barry had caught you, I'd say you were in trouble.
He's a big man, Dale. I wouldn't be arguing with him too often, I tell you.
Yeah, just like I remember playing you in the league one time. We played you back in Milton Malby. You were probably playing the same day Cusy Park was being renovated. Do you remember that? You beat us.
I
don't know, but I was full back because Loham was injured anyway. But Davy, a goal went in anyway. Nothing Davy could do about it anyway. But Barry Foley went in and kind of rattled him into the net with the shoulder, do you know? And so if he did, I went in and spotted Barry doing that and I just gave Barry a right one and lobbed him in behind Davy. And I turned around and there was Brian Begley
coming
towards me. And I says, Brian, easy, calm. I says, it's only the league. I said, I tell you one thing, just you pick your fights in these occasions,
don't you? Brian's a big man as well. Like, yeah, that's what I was saying. That's why I wasn't going having a go at Barry yesterday, no. He's too big for me.
Yeah, he's a fair unit, all right. That's a fact.
Yeah.
TJ, just on it, like the whole effect of the wind, like, you know. I thought like Turlough were very measured in the first half, lovely ball in, got great scores, you know. They got 9 points, he only got 1-6. The effect of the win, like, and we talk about it in Cork as well, like, it's not a huge thing if your mind is right, like, is it?
Well, I suppose it's a bit like tactics and say a game plan and all that. You still have to play well. Like, if your players are playing well with the breeze, you can use it very well. If your players are playing very well and winning your position, you still have to win the battles around the pitch. Obviously, the wind kind of is a big help in terms of distance and stuff, but you still have to use the ball well. Our fellas, the way Turlough Moore set up as well, right? They're a little bit, I won't say footballish, like, but they kind of try to get a lot of people back in their own 65, and then they all bomb forwards, plenty of lively forwards. We kind of wanted to make sure we killed the space as much as we could. And it actually nearly suited us a little bit, playing into the wind with that format. So we could keep our six backs together. We kind of were zonal there in the second half. We just marked away all that space, and it definitely helped us. Just the way the game was set up. But in saying that, with the breeze, Dillo, I would like to have been 3 or 4 or 5, but it would have made it certainly a little bit better. And the halftime talk would have been a little bit easier, I think.
Yeah, but I don't know. I sometimes think, though, that you, if you have that 5-point lead, you go defending it in, like, whereas ye knew you were only level at halftime, like, you know, and ye had to level into the wind. Wasn't going to do ye just sitting back and holding on to a 5-6 point lead, like. You had to come out and play, and you did play, like, and I would say that was a factor in Cork as well, lads. You know, psychologically, when the Glen got the 2 goals, like, the Rockies had to come out and play, and the wind, for me, like, sometimes fellas like me back in the half back line or you were on midfield, Mark, you go hitting these mad shots, like, with the wind, don't you? Like, the fist pumpers, like, if you get them, but they're not the percentage balls, especially if your forwards win a ball, like.
No, and like, I suppose, Anthony, remember going back 20 years ago, we were kind of just lashing the ball really, like, and taking a chance, whereas the modern player, I suppose, is like, it's all about playing through the lines. I mean, if you were told that 20, 25 years ago we were going to play this through the lines, fellas would be looking at you saying, what's he on about? Isn't it about getting it and lashing it down the field to the forwards as fast as possible? So, like, the reality now is it's about keeping the ball in play and keeping possession and using the ball as smart as possible. But, like, I would say that both Thomas's yesterday and Blackrock in the senior game in Cork played well against the wind, played, you know, I mean, looking in from the outside, you'd say whoever has the win now in the second half, like, the Glen were level within 5 or 6 minutes of the second half, like, so it looked like it was going to be, I want to say, one-way traffic. Like, Blackrock showed the qualities in the second half that they showed in the semi-final against UCC, that battling quality, and the use of the bench, obviously, and we'll go on to that in a minute, the use of the bench and DC coming off and getting the goal straight away. It was a real message to all management, players, subs, you know, the use of the bench yesterday was critical for Blackrock, but I'd say great credit both to Thomas's and Blackrock, the way they played against the wind. Like, you can only do that, Anthony, if your spirits and your attitude is 100%, because if your spirit and attitude isn't 100%, most teams would just fold over, they'd pack up sticks and say, oh, Jesus, we can't beat the wind. But no, I think both Thomas's and Blackrock had a determination in them yesterday to win that title, like, you know?
Yeah, just, TJ, on that, like, Oisin Fanry, like, what a 19, I think he is,
19, yeah.
What a prospect.
What a prospect, yeah. And he actually had a small bit of a hamstring issue there. He picked up in the semi-finals.
I saw him, yeah. He put non-bandages and he took him off again and he was still getting, and Turlock sensed the danger with him and switched guys on him, but he still got out in front so often and you know, the scores he sniped were just crucial. To me, he looks a real one for the future. Like,
he's a real one, no doubt about it. And he's a great attitude as well. And he's a proper corner forward. Do you know the way sometimes a forward, like, he just has an instinct. He's a lovely swivel there, swings onto the left there. Like, and in fairness to him, over the last 2 seasons, he's been getting plenty of scores. I'm not sure how many points he scored in the Championship this year, but I'd say he scored in every single game he's played. Like, so for a young fella, yeah, certainly heading in the right direction, and great. And great for Thomas's, because, like, that team yesterday with John Hayd at wing back, he's just out of minor as well. And Evan Duggan in the middle of the field, wing forward, just out of minor as well. Like, so three really nice young fellas there to build for whoever is there, Dale, for the next couple of years to build a nice platform off, yeah.
And you mentioned Fenton maybe as a prospect, like, as a Galway fullback, and that definitely he'd be my six backs anyway. But, like, was there word that Dahi might have been carrying an injury going into the game? Dahi Burke. I know the talk, we talk a bit about Cullum Spillane and the loss of a crucial guy like that can be, I'm not so sure how important it was in your game, because it was 15 very good hurlers against 15 very good hurlers, to be fair, at all stages, even when the subs came on. But what did you know going in that Dahi might be a doubt?
No, we didn't, to be honest. So, Alex, I obviously, there was a calf or a bandage on the calf or whatever, so I don't know whether it was picked up in training or whether it was picked up in the football side of things or whatever. But no, we had planned for Dahi, and I do think he was the last of them, Dale. I think in that, say, after the second water break there, they got, I think, 4 points, and they just started to look like they were moving in the right direction. They had 1 or 2 half chances there, and I think Dahi in that sphere might have been a help to them. Now, I go back to what I said there earlier on, like, as the game was closing, our fellas were getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I think as the finish of the game even was coming, I think we were going away further. If the game was another 5 or 6 minutes longer, I think we would have won by more. But that's just my own feeling. It's probably easy to say that now.
What, was it the sweetest of the three victories, TJ? The three in a row?
Yeah, I think so. Like, obviously, for me, obviously, to go up and win one was obviously lovely. Like, and to win a three in a row. We haven't really mentioned the three in a row over the last number of weeks. You know, ourselves in these scenarios, you take it game by game and you talk about the next game, the next game. I have to say, I think this time around, the format suited a team like ourselves. First of all, with the break, first of all, from March, the lockdown, because the team had been on the road for 2 years. Everyone got that bit of time out. We didn't have, like, the likes of David Burke and Conor Cooney coming back to us after a tough inter-county campaign. They were fresh. And we went from game to game to game. It was every 2 weeks. So you didn't really get a chance to kind of have, let's say, whether it was a weekend away or a training camp. None of that really happened. It was just literally hurling and games. And we just bounced from one game to the next, to the next, to the next. And all our games, apart from the Portumna game, which just materialised in a different way, all the other games were really, really tight. And we just won the battles down the stretch and all of them. Like, we looked like we were beat the first day out against Castlegar. Conor Cooney comes up late with a goal. Like, so it was that kind of a season.
Yeah, and Tej, just with yourself and Kevin and the lads now, obviously it's over now as far as we know. You know what I mean? You win your championship and Blackrock won their championship yesterday and there's no Munster club. There's no Connacht club for ye, the big swinging Mickey.
Yeah.
That's a big bake of mine now. The Galway champions are not inside in the Leinster championship. But anyway,
yeah,
I think it'll be good for them as well. But what's your feeling like? Is it a nice feeling that you're finishing up the year a winner?
Yeah.
Then, you know, and it's happened to me several times, you know, that and even we won a Munster club once and we wound up losing the Ireland semi-final and just gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look back on it as my greatest year in one way, but it still wound up crying in a dressing room. And is there something nice about setting out to win what you wanted to win, win it, and that's the end of it?
Yeah, I completely see where you're coming from here. Like, we spoke about it last night briefly, and there's definitely a huge kind of a romance side of it to say it's done. Three in a row, you're finished the year as winners, that's it. But I suppose the competitive animal in us all, Dale, would always kind of like a pop to keep going. And if you look at what would be, I suppose, lurking in the grass, like, it was a year when all the big guns are around, right? Like Napiershik, Ballyhale, Coola, Belly Gunner, The Bridge, like obviously Blackrock yesterday, like so, Killadangan, like so, there's a huge, I suppose, quality of club teams left there, and I can see where people are coming from, and they'd love those teams to have a pop off each other. I think Thomas's are as good as any of them on their day. A couple of things didn't go right for us the first day against Ballyhale in 2 years ago in Croke Park. This is just one of those games that went away, and Ballyhale have a habit of doing that to teams, right, when they get in top of you. And then last year against Barnsley, we'd been very disappointed to lose that semi-final. I thought that was going to go our way, and we just, a couple of things went wrong, a couple of bad times. But look, it takes a fair team to win a county championship, as I said at the start, and for a team to go and win three in a place like Galway, which is extremely competitive. There's an awful lot of landmines in Galway where you could slip up and trip up very, very quickly. There's a lot of good teams, a lot of really well-coached teams, and you know, the standard is very, very competitive. I'm not sure, we'll say, whether it might be at Ballyhale standard all the time of all those teams, right? But it's just very competitive and there's very, very little between the teams. Like, so for a team to win three championships in a row in a county like Galway is a phenomenal achievement and testament to the club, like their ambition. And like, in fairness to these players, from day one, they just have been ambitious and they want to win and they want to drive on. They know they have a good team now. They're a rural club. The question I get asked most about St. Thomas is, where is it, right? Because
yeah.
a lot of people don't know, right? So basically, St. Thomas is literally just a very, very small rural place. I think it's about 200 odd houses. It's between Gart and Loch Ray on the main road there. So if you drive out of Gart there, past the Mart, out the road to Loch Ray, just out there about 5 or 6 miles, you'll come across Peter's Well and Kilcreest. And the pitch is there on the left-hand side heading just before. It's about halfway exactly between Gart and Loch Ray. So for just a rural club like that to go and put three county titles together, like, it'll obviously be spoken about for a long time to come. I think they were saying in Galway last night that only two teams have done it in the last 50 years, and they would have been great teams of Portumna and Athenry. So that'll just tell you, good for teams have done two, but it's only the third time in 50 years it's been done a three in a row.
I think you've done 40, yeah?
I'm not even talking about that now, John. I see where you're going.
Yeah, just on that, I'll tell you, you know, in fairness to, I know it kind of like, it could be, you could say, where is it? Like, because there isn't really a town or that, like, but
testimony to the club, but the facilities there, like, I mean, the pitches are just state of the art, the clubhouse, top notch. I mean, I was at a function there before Galway won the All-Ireland in 17, and Jesus, massive crowd, kind of an up for the match gig, like, and brilliantly organised, and the top notch people obviously in the background there, which you need, you have to have it, like.
Yeah, Fintan's old Flynn Noel there is the top man. He looks after the pitch there, and it's always in serious nick. Like, and they have the two pitches there to cater for, because, like, no matter what time of the day or night you go to Thomas's, there's always some team, whether it be a Camogie team or an underage team, there's always somebody in the field. And, you know, they're forward thinking, they have the gym upstairs, they have the clubhouse, you know, I think they have lights planned for down the road. So, yeah, as I said, it's just an ambitious club, and, you know, that's the way I suppose you nearly have to be now in order to be at the cutting edge. If you told me, a bit years ago when I'm blaming Enda Mulcairns, I think it was his fault, right, that basically he rang me first day and that I would spend 3 and a bit years in Galway, I would have said absolutely no chance, right? But when you get involved with these guys and you see the attitude and the will and the drive, I suppose, you know, driving up and down the road became very easy after a while. Like, but yeah, Colin Burke is chairman of the club, Enda Mulcairns, Maureen Duggan is secretary now, so they have a great group there. And Cyril Kelly was involved in twisting my arm as well. Like, I'm not actually sure exactly how they got me to agree to drive to St. Thomas's, but through conversation. And I think for any clubs out there today, I'd say it'll probably be moving month in the next month or two. They'll have clubs looking for coaches and managers. The likelihood is that when a club rings somebody, the first answer you'd always get is no. So what I'm going to say to clubs out there today is, if you want somebody and you think somebody's a good fit, just don't accept no straight away. Go and meet them, have a conversation with them, and let it pan out over a week or two, and a lot of arms can be twisted. And Dalo's available, lads. Dalo's available to all those clubs out there. Yeah.
It sounds like to me, Dalo, the former O's on in a way.
I'd say you could be right, Mac. I'd say when you're collecting there later on today, ask them what price Thomas is for 400 O's. You could do Paddy Power one bit of a favour and then give him a loan of a couple of hundred for next year.
For 12 months. No, yeah.
Huge credit, TJ. You know, that's gas when you join up with someone. Sorry, Mac.
Yeah.
I could see you at the final whistle. Like, I was watching you, actually, you know, because obviously we there's a connection with this. And what it meant to at the final whistle, that you kind of, like, they become part of yourself, like, nearly, you know. I know with the Kerry boys, you know, I'd have streamed the Kerry final there with Kilmiley, and you know, when they came back and won against Causeway, nearly jumping around the kitchen here, like, you know.
Yeah.
You do form a bond no matter where you're from. If as I say, if you're in this, you must drill, but if you drill and they drill back for you, you know, it's an incredible feeling.
Yeah, and we got that. We got that. I said, myself and Kevin, obviously, like, it became part of our lives for the last couple of years. And as it just becomes so ingrained, and as you're just planning from game to game, I go back, which we've touched on loads of times this program. I think the format of the championship this year, having all the county boys, having the club together, having just the run of games there, it just really, really worked for us. And I'd be a big advocate for that going forward.
TJ, have you a football club there in St. Thomas's?
No, Mac. We don't. They don't even own a football.
I knew Dale was setting me up on that question, Dale.
football in Thomas's.
There's very little football in South Galway, huh?
Yeah, a regular thing with the Clare clubs, like, before the championship, Fado would be go up and play maybe 3 or 4 of the Galway clubs, like. There wouldn't be any football mentioned anyway. You'll be lucky to get out with your life, I tell you, by going up there. And some of them, we often had to run to the bus. And Thomas, I remember Anthony Cunningham scoring about 7 goals against us one night above Thomas's pitch. And we didn't really think Thomas's were much good at the time. Do you know? So I'll tell you, that's I suppose that's another way of explaining Thomas's. Anthony Cunningham is probably one of their most famous sons, going back to your time, Jerry, even, you know. A great forward for Galway, and he would have put him on the map in lots of ways. I know now they have the modern stars, the David Burks and the Cooneys and etc. But Anthony and that special group with Joe Cooney and all those, that would have first brought Thomas's to our notice.
Yeah, he was a good player. Like, you know, when he came back in the '80s when he was playing, he was a really good, intelligent forward, and I think he's brought that into management as well. And just going back to young Fintan Burke there, I came across him with the under 21 championships there a couple of years ago when he was Galway. He nearly beat Cork in his own, the semi-final down in Limerick. You know, I think he's a serious prospect. I know he got a very bad injury later on, but it looks like that he's coming back to form and coming back to maybe fulfil the potential that, you know, that was seen that day. So we'll keep an eye out for him, but it looks like that he'll be a serious addition to the Galway squad this year.
Yeah, and obviously Shane O'Neill will be delighted with that option, especially with the matches now being so close. Like, now look at, we're all, as Ken Hogan said on this a few weeks ago, we might be hanging on a thread as well with the whole Neffet situation. But with Dahi Burke being, maybe if it's a torn calf or whatever, he might be a serious option for Shane O'Neill, like, to slot in there at 3-0.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, obviously, like, it's definitely a calf injury Dahi Burke has, and obviously there's a bit of time, but looks like there's plenty of options there. I did see Shane and John Fitz at the game yesterday, and I saw him at plenty of games there actually over the last number of weeks, and I'd say they got a good, you know, from their point of view, it's kind of like maybe a positive and negative. They haven't that much time now to work with the team for the, because of the inter-county setup, right? Because of the club campaign. But they got a great opportunity at the start of the year to look at players. Then they had time out. Then they got a chance to look at all of them in a club scenario, and they did see an awful lot of club games. And there's plenty of options there for them now. Like Joseph Cooney has been playing excellent hurling in the backs. Do they go with him in the backs, or do they go in the forwards? Fintan Burke is a real option. That's Linnan yesterday was very good. Like, there's a couple of other players, like Brian Concannon's very good. They have plenty of options up there. Like, so it's probably trying to put the pieces of the jigsaw together for them. But like, as you said, Dardiello, with the championship the way it's going to be, and matches coming maybe a week after or 2 weeks after, you might need all those options, and you need plenty of cover. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, but I
do think that Fintan at fullback is a very, very good fit. I think that maybe Dahi might be deployed somewhere else, I'd say, if I was guessing for us coming down the track.
Yeah, yeah. And that's an interesting one, lads. You know, switching, maybe looking at the, we'll talk Cork, all things Cork now shortly. Don't worry, the two of you. I can see you getting anxious there, the two of you. But you know, like, your finals run over the weekend with, say, Galway, and I know you're a Limerick man teacher, that's different, but like, Cork finals on the weekend, like, so Kieran gets the boys back and you're involved, like, but we are hearing talk of Clare and Cork playing challenge matches. Now, Cork depleases, Clare depleases, but we're hearing talk of Limerick and Wexford playing during the week. And, you know, you hear these things now, and you don't know too many details about them, because obviously there's lock gates and stuff like that. But how much of an advantage or a disadvantage, Ger, do you see it as? Like, you're involved, you're at the coalface. Like, was it good for you, or would you rather have had things wrapped up 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah, it's a bit interesting one. I suppose ideally you'd love to have the players back there as much as you can, you know, that, and to have as much time working with the players on the training pitch. But we're currently only training with, you know, we've only 12 or 14 players training at the moment, because we had, I think we up to 15 or 16 players involved over the weekend in hurling and football. So, you know, we'll start getting guys back in the end of next week. But even still, the county football final is due to be played in Cork next Sunday. So, that, you know, we have the two Cahalans involved in that at the moment. Like, so we still won't have a full squad back until a couple of weeks before the match. But on the flip side of that, the lads are playing great club hurling matches. They're playing hurling with their clubs. I'd say, you talk to all of them, if you meet them, they really enjoyed it. They've loved being back with their clubs. They've loved playing with them. But you'd love a week or two where they can maybe a bit of downtime to get over the club and come back in and get ready, because there's no doubt inter-county level is a step up from club level, as it should be. So, you know, to make that step straight away can sometimes be difficult for guys. So you'd love to give them a bit of a rest, but time isn't on our side. So you've got to kind of move fairly quickly now to get back in, because we're playing 4 weeks' time. We're playing on the 31st of October. So time will move quickly. And at this stage now, we're just hoping that it goes ahead.
And Ger, is there any talk of level 5, what Neffet are talking about? Is that going to have any impact on training on intercounty? I didn't read anything or see anything. I don't know. I'm only asking the question.
Well, you obviously had a lie-in this morning, like, I mean, you weren't titled, but
I'm only catching up, yeah.
No, but like RTE had Marty Morrissey on the Morning Ireland, and he just said if we do go to level 5, that's basically for the time being, and that we don't have the weekends to play with. Like, if we go to level 5, you see, TJ, we're back to the situation of only allowed train within 5 kilometres or, you know, that kind of thing. The only thing that'll be different from the first lockdown is the schools are going to remain open, as far as I can.
Good in childcare.
If you go to level 5, there's no games, there's no train, there's nothing. Level 5 is a complete lockdown, the whole thing finishes. If it gets to level 4, which might be some bit of compromise, or level 3 in between, level 4 is you can have non-contact with less than 15 players, but the games go ahead behind closed doors.
That'd be okay, Joe, wouldn't it?
Sure. Again, Mark, I suppose, look, do you think the end of it is that the games go ahead? That's the end of it if that happens. again, I suppose, like anyone, we're all involved in coaching teams. It's not ideal where you can only coach 15 players, including management, at a time. So that's not ideal. But in the context of whether we get games or not, you'll probably take it. You know what I mean? So hopefully it's at some stage that it doesn't go to level five, and somewhere, you know, it's a big jump from all over the country except Dublin to go from level two to five is a huge hit and a huge surprise. Where last week we were talking about maybe it moving to level three, but going to level five is just, I think the fact that we'll have no games, nothing, would be a big blow for everybody.
Yeah, I was trying to write a piece about it there, a lot of fellas on social media calling for the GAA to show leadership. And I think there's so many people, you know, I think of uncles and uncles-in-law and my father-in-law, while he knows, and he's 91 years of age and he's as fresh as a daisy, like, good, clean farming life up in Kilmaley. And he just would give anything now to see Clare and Limerick, like, on the television, be able to sit down with his cup of tea, if restrictions come in. And I think that outweighs, you know, a lot of this stuff as well, is the mental health of people. And, you know, the funny thing, lads, is, like, I mean, an awful lot of talk about the North being in serious trouble at the moment with numbers and per head of population, that they're way worse off than we are. But, like, in actual fact, and I know we're the one association, but this is a hurling show, so I'm going to take liberties here again. We could actually run the Liam McCarthy, really, no problem, couldn't we? In terms of, no, if we might have to drop the back door, but if we dropped the back door and made it straight knockout and maybe had just the back door for the losing Munster finalists and the losing Leinster finalists, we could very easily run the Liam McCarthy. But of course, we'd come up against all the, well, you're not playing it if we're not playing it, you know, that kind of thing. Like, because, like, if the Ulster Championship goes, I suppose you can't run a football at Ireland.
No, you can't.
It's a very good point, Anthony.
Yeah, look, it's one that we'll find out about in the next couple of days. I don't think my own, Jesus, what do I know? But I don't think we'll go to level five anyway. I think that's a recommendation. I think the government will roll back a bit from that and see how things work out. I know
it's the first big call, Anthony, for the government now, that they have taken every recommendation from NPHET on board up to now. I think this is this couple of days, Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar will have a lot of questions to answer. I think there'll be a lot of soul searching done in the next couple of days now.
Well, where Cork lead, others follow, like, as you always tell me, like, you know, so
but Dale, to go back to the question you asked, I do think that the counties that have their teams and players together, the extra 2 or 3 weeks are at a little bit of an advantage here. Like, I do think that those 2 or 3 weeks, getting them kind of up to the speed of inter-county, I think has given them a slight advantage here. Now, whether the freshness angle will come into it in October or November, that's a different question. But I do think it's a slight advantage to the likes of Davey, who's had Wexford together, all his group together a long time, maybe some of the other counties, Waterford and stuff. I do think they're a slight advantage.
So it's between Davey, John Kiley and Liam Cahill, you're saying, basically.
I think they have the jump start.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get a word out of Cunningham now if you had to go down and shake him below at one. He's probably down in West Cork with the feet up.
So you're that market on that.
I know. John, say nothing now, boy.
Say nothing.
We have our own job to do against Waterford in a couple of weeks, Simon. We know that they'll be well prepared and they'll be happy out of their skins. But I think Josh had a very valid team there a while ago. I think the morale in the Cork County at this moment in time, I don't think it has ever been as high. Now, whether the lads will be up to speed and stuff like that, that's it. Like, sometimes you'll find that a team that's in good spirits, no matter whether the opposition have done 20% more training or have more meetings done, you can't beat a happy camp and you can't beat spirit. And if I think there's a huge amount of goodwill in Cork at this moment in time, and let's hope that will be seen when the players take the field in a couple of weeks' time against Waterford.
Yeah, we kind of gathered that. Larry, you're living down there with them, like, and would you get a sense that Corkness, that phrase that came from somewhere now, I've never heard of a Limerickness or a Galwayness or a Clareness, but that sense of Corkness is back, Larry, would you say?
The Corkness is bursting out of them. Ever since the first lockdown, when they weren't allowed to leave the county, and they were absolutely thrilled with that fact.
You often see the maps where they kind of cut off Cork and they're kind of, you know, yeah, that they're on. You'd stay in the EU, Denmark, would you?
We would, but it's lovely to see that
the Tipperary. You know all about the grants. You know all about the grants in East Cork.
It's nice to see the three of you being able to come in and work for the examiner, to be fair, and we've been paid for by the cockfellas.
It's now the Irish examiner, Mac, so has been for a few years, you know what I mean?
Still the cock examiner there, though.
Once we made the breakthrough in 95, he started coming up, realised there'd be papers to be sold up around us as well, like, you know what I mean? Come here, we better talk about it. You had a massive weekend, lads, and again, huge credit, I suppose, yesterday, all right, the bit of Irish. Jeez, I should have stuck to the bit of Irish, gone to school. Jeez, those handy numbers to be got in TG Cahar, wondered your. We had to watch it. Like, put the examiner and Co-op Superstores coverage, lads, and your analysis as well. Now, I know I was slagging you earlier at the Galway was higher quality, but no, your in-depth knowledge of it down there. And you had a mega weekend, lads, you know, and I suppose look at starting with yesterday, I suppose, like the Rockies back, the championship back in the city and the Rockies after 18 years. And I know there was a bit of criticism of the scenes, maybe when they marched back with the cup, with the conditions we're living in and that, but Jesus, it is very hard, isn't it, when you're waiting like that and you have you've won minors, you've won 21s, and yet it seems that it's not going to happen. Or, you know, the outpouring of joy was just a sight to behold at the final whistle and the scenes last night.
Look, Dale, I just think from a BlackRock perspective, they've come through the hard side of the draw. They had a massive, the best game of hurling I saw all year was the Douglas BlackRock game in the quarterfinal. That was brilliant. The UCC semi-final was a titanic struggle with them and came down to a point after 80 minutes. But like yesterday's performance from BlackRock just summed up their whole club spirit, to be honest. Played against the gale force breeze in the second half and were level with five. Like, everybody said at halftime, 12 points to 7 to tally enough, 5 points. And the Glen were level within 5 minutes. It was just phenomenal that they played against that hurricane and got a result at full time. And then obviously the winning of the game, I think, was the first period of extra time where they scored 2-4. And I think the use of the BlackRock bench yesterday, and Fergal Ryan had said it in advance, you know, that maybe the possibility of holding back four or five fellas that would be starters, I think, in any championship team in Cork, that probably ended up to be the winning of the game, because BlackRock had the strongest 15, I would suspect, on the field of play, maybe from the 50th minute onwards. But that's down to the management and the decisions they made, and they've been vindicated, I suppose, at this moment in time.
They have, Mark, but, I watched the two of you doing commentary of the semi-final with the college, and you said, Ger, at the end of it, that you didn't think there was any decision to be made on Tide DC. And I was saying this morning, like, do you know that if Hoggy's pint, to put the Glen a pint ahead with the time up, if that went over the bar, how much grief would Fergal Ryan be getting today in the club in BlackRock, sipping a pint of cider, drowning these sorrows? And they're playing with a gale force breeze, and you're not having Ty DC on the field. It's millimetres, like, this game, isn't it?
It is totally millimetres. That we were saying it just at the match. Like, it was a very, like, it was a brave call. Same as the semi final, it was a hugely brave call. Maybe there was a bit of fallout from the fact that he'd gone away on a week's holidays or a couple of weeks holidays early on in the season, and that might have lingered a bit in the situation of not picking him. But like, to have, you know, to have the gumption wants to stay with it. And in the final, you know, and then the way the conditions were, just saying it, like, that they played with a gale in the first half and he wasn't down, and he came on with whatever after 10 minutes of the second half, you know. As Mark said, totally agree with him. They had their best team. John Cashman, another guy, came on, had a big part to play as well, because they bought these two guys on after 10 minutes of the second half in their last couple of games. And it has worked for them. And, you know, but the difference, like, it is millimetres and a fraction, you know, between winning and losing. The point, Dale, you looked at yesterday, that Ty DC got from the sideline cut to draw the match, was an incredible score for a left-handed striker. Like, from, it was the wrong side, you know, to curl it in. We were just saying, would he keep it in play? No, it kind of brought us back to the All-Ireland final in 2013. Do you keep it in play or do you go for it? But I was looking at the other BlackRock players around the pitch, and there was none of them making a move for a pass, because I think they knew when they saw DC going over, there was only one thing in his mind and one thing in his head, that he was going to have a pop off this. You know, and he probably would have been castigated you know, for if he had missed it, because it would have given Blackrock or given the Glen a puck out, you know, 80, 90 yards back down the pitch. It was an incredible score. And fair play to him. Like, you know, he's come up with big plays since he's come on in the last couple of games. He came on yesterday, goal on the point, goal with his first touch of the ball. Same last week when he came on, he had a huge impact in the game. So Virgil Ryan and the lads and John Brown and the boys can take huge credit for, you know, they got it right. When you win, everything is hunky-dory, everything is perfect, everything is grand. But the difference between winning and losing, if that hadn't paid off yesterday, again, there would have been a bit of the cracking, a bit of slagging as to why they didn't stamp him, because he's been very, very impressive this year.
Yeah, and like, the only thing, I'm not being critical of the Glen now at all, right? But for me, it was an awful silly free to give away, the last free to young Connolly, and he was superb now, Alan Connolly. I thought he was absolutely, if Oisin Flannery kind of took my breath away, and I've seen a good bit of him now with the matches being streamed. Jesus, for me, he was nearly unstoppable yesterday if he got the right ball into him. But I don't think, and I'm going to bring this back now, this might be a bit controversial, I'm not being critical now with the man to give away the free because he's a good game. But like, I don't think the St. Thomas' defenders would have given away that free in the same situation. I thought it was just how, you know, you can't kind of coach that presence of mind to say, don't foul him, Colin McAllister. The P might as well have been stuck in the whistle again because he was blown for nothing. Now, I know there's that temptation with the ref to give the last minute free to level it up an extra time in the drama. But I actually don't think Fintan Burke and TJ's full back line would have given away that free.
I'm not sure, Mark. I just watching it. I didn't see it back, Dale, as to how was it a definite free? Because I know some people in the Glen were complaining that, you know, they felt in the context of the game, with the whistle, you know, it wasn't a free. It was an easy free, but I think he might have been in the back of his mind. I think McAllister would have been. I think he'd been unhappy with the fact there was a blatant free earlier in the game that Alan Connolly should have got a free. And I was looking at it. You know, I think Colin McAllister was a long way back, and I think he lost his whistle. And I think the whistle fell to the floor. He picked up the whistle, but in the context of that, he missed the free. He missed the. It was a blatant free, and I think he even apologised to the Blackrock mentors afterwards that. He should have given a free. He didn't see it, but he told him that he had lost his whistle, and he couldn't. You can't be called by the sideline or by the umpires to a free. The referee has to make the call, and I think that might have played a small bit in the back of his head that he gave him a chance to equalise. But I think, you know, it was borderline probably. You know, was it a free or not? I'm not sure. But say, to me, it was the one to, you know, to level the game, and it was such a good game, such a close game. It was probably the fairest thing to do because. Definitely in the first half, Alan Connolly was pulled down for a blatant free that they should have got.
Yeah, I mean, Joris, one Hunt has covered the whole thing there, top to bottom. And that is exactly what happened just today. And we all saw the foul on Connolly in the first half. And young Connolly stood up and he just put his two hands and said, what the heck, like, what do I have to do to get a free here? But Joris right, Colin McAllister did drop his whistle, right, and he'd missed it. But it's very, very poor that the umpires and the linesmen are two qualified referees as well, that they couldn't put up the flag and say, listen, you've missed it. Because there was a key thing in the match itself where the Glen had a point that was waived as a point first and then it was discounted. And I'm sure it was probably the linesmen that intercepted that. So, like, the linesmen in that situation could intercept and make a decision for that point. I can't understand why he didn't, or why one of the linesmen didn't come in and say to Cahill, listen, you've missed a blatant free there. But maybe in the context, you get a bit of time and the ball goes wide and stuff like that to actually, and the referee will look out to you. Now, I do think that Cahill probably would have realised, because the Blackrock bench were incensed and the supporters were incensed, that Connolly didn't get a free. He probably knew something went wrong, but maybe if he was mic'd up, Anthony, it may have been a bit better. He might have, but I think in the overall context of the game, and I mentioned this last week, that I was hoping that Cahill McAllister would actually get the whistle, because I think he'd make a great contribution to the game itself. And I did think his overall handling of the game was excellent yesterday.
You've been looking for that, like you've been saying, we want this to flow, and you've been saying it freely here on the show, and like there's no doubt about it. I thought like it was the Cahill of old, like yesterday, but I don't think you should be given a free to make up for one. Unfortunately, to drop the whistle to cost another club a county final either, though, Mark.
I know, but that's just an opinion. I actually felt that Connolly did very well in the last play of the game. He caught the ball, he took on his man, he went straight for goal. Now, the Glen man clearly put his hand in around his waist. He made it easy for the referee to give the free. That's not Cahill's fault. that's actually the Glen defenders, and maybe that's coming back to your point that you don't think that the Galway fellas they might have waited for him to throw it up and stuff like that. But the minute a defender puts their hand on the back, Darren, you know, you run the risk. But equally, Anthony, I would say the Black Rock defenders were very disappointed with that the referee awarded a point or a penalty to Patrick Horgan. Also, because it looked as though the likes of John Cashman had stood him up, and Patrick had got away and tried to make an attempt to strike the ball, but the defenders felt that they had held up, they were holding him up for the front, from the front, whereas the last free was the Glen defenders were going back. And so I don't know, Anthony.
I do think, Dale, in the way the game was refereed, I didn't see the full game, but when we were in the room, we saw about maybe the last 10-15 minutes of the game, and I will say the sideline was sensational, Jerry. I have to say, like, to have the balls to have a go there and just popped out, it was unbelievable strike. But I did think the free was soft, Dale, in the way he refereed the game, yeah. And what we're trying to do now on the line, right, we get kind of grief over this, is if a referee gives us just a decision and it goes against us, instead of giving out to him now, right, my philosophy would be, like yesterday with Alan Kelly, Alan, you missed this, it was a wrong call, you owe me one. That's all I said to him, you owe me one. And normally you get it down the stretch, like, huh?
So that's how Conor Cooney got that free to level it over the side.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and to be honest with it, referees are a bit like the rest of us. It does play on their mind. The other thing too now is a new thing you'll hear lines saying to referees, the free count. Like yesterday, I think after about 20 minutes, Alan was just all wrong in the first 20 minutes. It was 8-2 to them or something. So I had a little word in his ear. We got things started out, and by the end of the game, we were all square. So yeah, sometimes you just need to remind them. But I thought it was of the soft nature to level it. I did think that.
Did you shout back at the stats, fella? What's the free count before you went out to Alan, like, and reminded him of the free count?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what the stats guys are there for, yeah.
And you kind of said, are we that dirty, Alan? Are we a filthy team here? And Turlochmore aren't, like, that's the kind of thing. Joe Cunningham is this. He's making notes here.
He's making notes.
Are you in where 4 days over, Joe? Like, or will you be just sitting back noting your piece? Like?
No, I think Sully wants that job, Dale. So we leave that
to Sully going into our ref as well has its own. But look, you know the gas thing about that free that he dropped the whistle. Someone else said he slipped. The interesting thing about that is he didn't give the free, and the Glen cleared the ball up the free, and Hoggy very nearly got in for a goal at the other end. Do you remember he came in along
great
the sideline?
Great block by John Cashman.
He tried to bat it in, Mark. Yeah.
Great block.
Like, I tell you, like it could have been a massive swing down, Mark. The one that, you know, not would make up for it really, like.
Oh, like, listen, Anthony, a goal could swing into, and like, even in the senior A final yesterday, Farrell O'Neill was 7 points up and looked like they were holding a good lead against Charleville with the same breeze. And it was a long ball, came in, and unfortunately, the ball bounced in front of the keeper and he knocked it into his own net. And next of all, the momentum totally switched the other way. So, like, you know, this is a game of inches, but like, you look at the Black Rock bench that came on yesterday. They scored 3-5 from play. Sorry, 3-5. I think Tighe's sideline was one. 3-4 from play. That is a massive, massive contribution. And even in the senior A final, Charleville brought 3 subs off the bench and they contributed 4 points from play themselves as well. So, I mean, the use of the bench. And I just think that the management need as much praise and credit. The players get all the credit at the end of the day, Anthony, in county finals. But I think the management's must get more prayers as well. I think what, and like Joe would know this from being around Cork, like, I'm sure Fergal Ryan is taking a fair bit of stick now with both John Cashman and Tighe Deasy not starting, because we all know that they're good enough to be on the starting 15. But himself and John Brown and Joe Young stuck to their guns. And I think it was always the view that it is working for us. The lads are coming on. We are strong. We're getting stronger and stronger. And their impetus is massive. And that's what happened. And yes, the game could have got away from him, but if you look at any rugby team at the moment, all the rugby managers will make decisions and taking off their props after, we say, 45, 50 minutes. It's game management, it's time management. So it's about being able to use your bench and knowing that, and like, once the players can buy in and can accept the situation, Anthony, I think that is the biggest thing. Is if the player gets cranky and sour, and people behind are feeding into their mind, their head, say, you should be playing, you should be starting, and they're wrong on you. That's then when you have a problem, because if a player comes on and he doesn't have the right attitude, then you're in trouble. But those players that came on yesterday, I think Alan O'Callaghan must get great mention as well. He got 2 points yesterday when he came on. He had a plate and settled into his arm earlier on this season. He played his first match for Blackrock 3 weeks ago, and he's ended up getting 2 points in a county final yesterday. Had a major contribution. And he's only a young guy, 22, 23 years of age. So this Blackrock team are going to be around, Anthony. But I'm at pains to say this, that the job that Fergal Ryan and John Brown and Joe Young have done is massive and made big, big calls yesterday.
Yeah, well, as you said, management don't get enough credit, but they're certainly getting it here this morning with TJ on the line as well. And we give it up. I'm just saying how tight these calls are. If Hoggy's pint was to be the last pint, the shtick they would have been getting, the management. But yeah, you're right, they stuck to their convictions. And that pays dividends at times, I think, you know.
I go back to 99, right, and I had no problem in saying this. Everybody in the county thought that Alan Brown was going to start in the All-Ireland final and that Neil Ronan wouldn't start. We started the same 15 the whole year long and it worked for us. And Brown came off the bench, Kevin Murray came off the bench, they made a contribution, we won by a point. That's the narrow decisions, Anthony. The game finished up a draw yesterday. But like, the big thing for me is Young Connolly was, and like, what we see now over 3 or 4 weeks with Young Connolly, he was physically dominated against Douglas. He didn't have a massive game, but he got a goal out of nothing, which showed a quality. Then in the semi-final, he got a point from 75 yards out into a slight breeze to level the game against UCC. He got a one-handed tennis goal as well in that game in extra time. And then he steps up and he gives the man of the match performance. I can tell you this much. He's a kid that has a bright, bright future. He was inspirational for his club yesterday.
Yeah, and one of the lads, Twitter, you're lucky you're not on it, Mark, because people said you'd be absolutely insufferable today on the Black Rock. And defended you. I said, Les, I said, he told us to put it on, like, and I put up a little emoji of Wad of Money, like, you know. I said, you can't say you weren't told, like. You get the information on the Examiner Hurling Show every Monday morning. And Mark Lenders has given the information. I said no. But people did say you'd be absolutely painful today talking shite about telling us early on, dear. We'll never see the Rockies for the next 5-6 years at 12 to 1 again, Mark.
12 to 1.
Yeah, well, I was going to start singing The Banks of My Own Lovely Lee, and then I was going to sing some Championes, but look, you know, I just leave it being to be calling to our buddies in Petty Powers and Biles in the afternoon, Dale, and we might still have an old evening in Killer before the year is out.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I was going to say, I think both games yesterday, I think it would have been unreal, I think, if it was a crowd at both of them, like the finish of the Cork game. I think if the park, which was a big crowd there, I'd say it would have been electric. And our game, the tackles and the tension going down the stretch was unreal as well. It would have been phenomenal as a crowd there. But to go back to your point there about the millimetres, like, there are so many small things. And I'd say we're heading into a championship, right, where there's going to be very, very little between a lot of teams. So small calls, just getting a little tactic, one play, one score at different times. And we all know when you win, you're great, Dela. Isn't that right?
Everything is right when you win, TJ.
Everything is right, yeah. Perfect.
And Dela, the Senior A final yesterday came down to a point. 4.13 for Father O'Neill's to 1.23 for Charleville. Charleville got 5 points against the Breeze in the first half and they scored 118 in the second half. And Jock covered that game. I think Danny Flynn got 6 points from play from the middle of the field. Phenomenal. Dallas Fitzgibbon got 1-7. Yeah. If that was a doubleheader in Parky Cueve yesterday with 25,000 people, the atmosphere would have been electric.
TJ, my day consisted of watching that epic match then. The Senior A final in Cork and Charleville's victory and incredible performances all around. We'll talk about it in a sec. Paid my 985 to the Galway GA the night before my weekend.
Very good, you'll be happy with you.
Yeah, I'll be sending the bill to Larry there shortly for all these do the Offaly one now next week as well. But then watched you jumping up and down, attacking Barry Cullinan, roaring at Alan Kelly about freeze. But even though Turlough Moore wear that beautiful black and white hoop jersey that I love, I was in your corner. I punched the air when you got over the line. And I won't begrudge Turlough one in the future. But then I had the Rockies in the Glen, the little All-Ireland, and thinking, where's Landers now? And he's sweating. And a few of my mates said, Landers is sweating now. And Simon Kinnifick got the two goals. Do you know, like, it's just incredible stuff. And then I completely forgotten about other sports, TJ. And I just switched over at the final whistle and I see Manchester United won half-time, Tottenham Hotspur 4. And you know what? I'm in doubt to the kitchen. And I doubt there's a bit of a rhyme rack out there. Doesn't have me much in it now, I tell you, when I have a go at it. But I opened a lovely bottle of chili and red. And I said, I'm going to watch this now. And I proceeded then, TJ, to watch that 6-1, an annihilation of that crowd from Old Trafford. They're finished as a club. Right? And then turned on this unbeatable crowd, ZZ Top soccer, AC/DC soccer being walloped 7-2 at Villa Park. I tell you, if there was a crowd at that one, I'd have loved to have been there in the whole end in Villa Park. I tell you, as Mark said, sport doesn't much get much better and you didn't mind about the Liverpool game, let's face it, last night.
I didn't mind, but to go back to what you were saying there about winning and like Jurgen Klopp, very like tactically he's been brilliant and he's just brought a new dimension to the Liverpool team, but all of a sudden one game it goes wrong and now everyone is questioning this high line there. So I don't know, it'll be interesting to see whether he sticks to it or whether he changes. But 7-2, yeah. I think something has to change, what?
Roy Keane was right, so TJ when he caught slappy,
slappy,
slappy, slappy.
Keane is always right.
Always right.
Oh, fucking Cork again. Like, you just can't. Like, switch it over to the soccer and it's Roy Keane is right. Like, you know, Keane caught it out the previous week.
Yeah.
Anyway, we won't go there with the soccer. But just a reminder to you, anyway, like, that there's only one team now and the special one is back. We just tell you that now. Special one is back. But and Larry, you snake, you Arsenal snake there in the background. you're snaking away up the table too, I'll tell you. Lads, you had a great weekend in Cork, we refer to it, and you had fantastic finals. And what a game, Father Neils and Charleville Mark. Great game of ball and what drama down the stretch.
Yeah, it was phenomenal again, I suppose Father Neils getting to the Premier All-Ireland Club Final last year, beaten by Tullerone or Tommy Welch's crowd, like just a pint again. It was phenomenal. And like they set out their stall from the word go. They played with the Breeze, the Declan Daunton, Billy Dunn, and Liam O'Driscoll inside. And I think Oisín Langan had asked me on Saturday night who I thought would win. And I said, look, the inside line for Father O'Neill's is very, very strong. They ended up scoring, I think, about 3-13 between them, or 3-12. A lot of that was from play 3-7.
11, I think, yeah.
Yeah, massive for the inside line. They probably should have been more up, Anthony, because Charleville hit 7 wides in the first half, but did only 5 points on the board. It was 1-11-5, so 14 points. To 5-9 points up. It was a nice lead. And they had weathered the storm for most of the second half. We said the first 12 minutes, 30, and next of all, a simple ball in, mistake by the goalkeeper. And all of a sudden, Charleville got 3 or 4 points. Mainly Danny Flynn got them straight away, and the impetus moved straight over to Charleville. And like, Charleville then dominated the game. Darragh Fitzgibbon was really, really good in the second half as well. And I would say the sideline, again, Claude Goff and his management team in Charleville, they brought on a young lad, Tig Haw, full forward, 6'4" or 6'5". He got 2 great points. Went 4 points up, and I would have to say now, I'd be a little bit, you're talking about a free that was awarded for the Glen. The wing forward for Father O'Neill's, Jason Hankard, won a great puck out when there was 3 points in it, won it cleanly, came to the ground, tried to play the ball. He was totally manhandled from both sides, lost the ball, and your man hard knocked the ball over the bar, put 4 points in it. The ball came up the field and Billy Dunn got a goal to bring it back to a point. I think Father O'Neill's will be quite disappointed that the free wasn't awarded for that puck out, because in fairness, he'd done everything right, winning the puck out, but just couldn't release the ball. But it was more the manner in which he was hard tackled and stuff like that. So, but I have to say, Charleville to score 118 in the second half in 30 minutes, Holland, was phenomenal. Darragh Fitzgibbon, Danny Flynn were hugely influential in that. A lad, Cahalo, Carroll, who didn't start, I think he was injured, came on. He had a very, very good game as well. And a lot of the number of the older lads, I suppose, Andrew Kegney in particular, had a really, really good game as well for them. So it was a brilliant game.
Yeah, they have really come on in leaps and bounds here as well, like Charleville, haven't they? They wouldn't have been kind of on my radar as being, you know, Newtown dominated that area of Cork, not Cork. And, you know, for me, Charleville was about going to Harty Cup matches and the lovely fields.
Yeah, they've been coming the last couple of years. They've been coming. Like, yeah. they were senior last year before the regrading of the competition. Like, so they were up. They were playing a level above Father O'Neill's for the last year or two. They have been around the place, coached last couple of years by Ben O'Connor. So, like, you could see the influence of Ben's style of coaching on that team in the last couple of years. And, you know, they've been coming. They won the junior, won intermediate 2015, won the Premier, and then went up senior. And last year, played Glen Rovers in the championship and lost by a point after extra time down in Mallow. So they've been coming, underrated, play a nice brand of hurling. They're a good side. And I think they'll be quite comfortable when they go up senior next year. I think, you know, they're a young side. They've some very good hurlers. They're not just a one-man team with Fitzy there. Like, as you saw yesterday, you know, Daniel O'Flynn, 6 points, he got five when he was in centre-forward. Like, he got some five great scores on a difficult day for striking. Like, they scored 23 points. They had another 8 or 10 wides, I'd say, at least. So, it was just trying to judge that win yesterday was quite difficult. But I think the difference that they played at the higher level just about got them over the line, because Father O'Neill had a couple of chances, I think, in the first half. Decky Dalton was inside on his own a few times. I know Kevin O'Sullivan went through once and decided to take the shot himself. Brought a brilliant save from the goalkeeper, went up for 65 that Decky put over the bar. But I think if he had passed it on a 1-1 with Dalton inside, he would have buried it. You know, they had the fullback, was Jack Mead, was on a yellow card as well. And I think if they could have hit the ball more into Dalton when he was inside on 1-1, Mark said their full forward line was well on top. Billy Dunn was on top. Liam O'Driscoll was on top. You know, they had chances, like, they've been getting goals all year. They needed to tack a few points, but, you know, fair play. This was potentially, we knew going into the match that these two teams were probably, as well as Cantor, probably the best two teams in the championship. And the conditions didn't spoil the game. They gave us a great, great game yesterday.
Yeah, it was great stuff. And I'm sure, Mark, when you collect the wad today, that you'll be calling there. Ladies Bridge, you'll be at the call.
There was another little bit of an accumulator we were waiting on him to collect as well. So, unfortunately, I have been settling for a draw later on, like, you know.
I was going to ask Mark there, surely when he's collecting today, that he'll be having a little punt on the Intercounty Championship coming down the track. So, since he tipped the Rockies, just wondering for the listeners who Mark's tipped for the for the Intercounty Championship for the All-Ireland. Mark, where will your five will be going? I see Limerick and Tip kind of head to Mark at the moment, followed by Kilkenny, then Galway. Cork is tight enough. So, no pressure, but just who is your All-Ireland tip?
Well, I'll stick with Munster first now, and Leinster, I think, TJ, before we go to the All-Ireland. I think I'll be having a quite interest on Kilkenny to win Leinster. And I think I'll be going for Limerick to win Munster.
Oh, okay. Even the difficult side of the draw, yeah?
I don't think it'll make any difference. I think we've seen with the club championship at the moment that week on week, the physical conditioning of a lot of the clubs has been fantastic. The Intercounty, I think, will be no different. I think that the players will actually love the challenge of playing one weekend after the next. I also think that it's going to stretch the panels. So the lads that used to be number 22, 23, 24 on the panel, they now could become very, very critical guys in this championship. And I think the overall context, Limerick have a very, very good panel, even though I know they've lost a number of players, but I think they have a very good panel at the moment.
I just can't believe, Larry, how he didn't tip Cork there and saying they'd be singing the Banks and the Grand Parade at Christmas week. But that's typical of them, of course. Like, they'll be willing to tip up someone else and then say, I tell you the truth, I back Cork, like.
But Dela, you see, you didn't give me a chance to finish there now, right?
Okay, yeah, so I was about to ask you.
We've only the provincials covered there at this moment in time. Larry, you're some more, boy. Larry's just after sending in a text there that Landers is after backing Cork for the double. It's the
30th anniversary. What about Ireland, Mark?
I think Limerick will be in the final, and I think Cork or Kilkenny will be in it with him. One or the other.
And Cork will win it, Mark, will they?
We'll wait and see now.
No pressure on Gerard. He's saying nothing. Like, this is the first week we got TJ. This is the first week we got TJ to actually talk about the Galway Championship. Like, every other week it was, we got our very good team, Turlochmore, and very good team, Capitagle, they're coming with cheers. And, you know, this is the first morning we got him to open up a small bit. Maybe it took a few pints last night, and maybe the thought of the few today with the table booked up in Peterswell, or wherever he's booked with his pizza and that. But we won't get anything out of Jock Cunningham until Monday morning, the 15th of December or the 14th of December.
Long way to go, Dale, between this and then. A long way to go. Anything can happen. Millimetres.
Jerry, you had a great performance. I tell you the truth now, you had a great performance from Blarney on Saturday night. They messed up the accumulator for us. We'd be sweating now on Nemo Rangers, who are usually good at finals, but that didn't work out. So we can't blame you too much on that, Mark. Nina knocked me out fairly early, like, and you were pulling the piss out of me for that as well, for backing Nina. But I thought Nina beat Thurles after all, Ken Hogan to her. Anyway, but Blarney were very impressive. Cullum Spillane will be a big worry for you with the injury, but I will say, and I was a bit worried about his form, Ger, and I've said it here on the show, maybe you weren't done with it then, Mark Coleman, I just was a bit worried. Was he burned out, or was, do you know that can happen with a lad that bursts onto the scene and wins an All-Star and all this? And Jesus, his performance for UCC last week and his performance for Blarney Saturday night were just off the charts, I thought.
Yeah, he was really, really good. His striking, Dale, was back to, you know, what we expect of Mark Coleman. Like, I think the tactics that Blarney got on the line again, back to what Mark said earlier on, giving management some praise, I think their tactics on the line were spot on. They play with an extra defender back into that sweeping up. The fact that they played him a couple of weeks ago and lost by 6 points, the old adage, sometimes you learn more in defeat than in victory. I think they learned an awful lot. Starting the match, they played Coleman and young Shane Barrett, who's another young fine prospect as well coming through. Played the two of them at wing forward, wing forwards, and I think they got a great start to the game. And I think once they dominated, I think Castellane struggled. An unbelievable blow to Castellane for Cullum Spillane to go off after a minute. That would have been, you know, their main man, their leader, he is Castellane's hurling, and for him to lose, you know, he got a belt and it just the referee blew for it straight away. We all thought it was a bit harsh, but obviously he got a nasty belt. But for him to go off was a big blow, and I think Blarney, it took a while for Castellane, I think, to come to terms with it. But Blarney at that stage had kind of got a couple of scores and got up the gap. I think in fairness to Castellane, they came back. But again, you talk about different things, like, you know, they had Castellane had Niall O'Leary playing as a sweeper, and he really didn't influence the game that much in the context of the game that was there. And I was saying, we were just saying on the line, why didn't they put Niall O'Leary over in Coleman to try to contain him? Because if you contain Coleman, you take a lot of this thing out of the Blarney scoring potential if you can hold him. So I thought it was a mistake to, you know, to leave Niall free enough to sweep up, that he should have taken either Coleman, Shane Barrett or Power. I think between them scored 1-9 from play, and in total got 120 from the three lads. And they didn't put Niall O'Leary in any of the three players during the game. I thought it was kind of a bit of a mistake. But Blarney on the day, top class, their tactics worked, played really well on the night. And it's very rewarding, you know, that when you go and play, that you produce a big performance on the night of a county final. And they'll be thrilled. They've been coming a while. They have a lot of good talent. Last year they were Premier Minor A in hurling in Cork. There's some very, very good players. And you can see the likes of Bobby Power and the likes of Shane Barrett coming through. And they'll step up into the senior A. And like the last number of years, a team that's coming with momentum, will be hard to beat. And they'll find their feet fairly well up at that level. And they'll only get better and better.
Yeah, Mark, can you told me there this morning that you got a text last night from that veteran wing back who had a stormer in fairness team, George Jordan. Yeah. And he was apologising for messing up the accumulator for us, but pushing the back against Blarney. He was reminding you to remind me about
Blarney Miley in 2008.
Jesus, if he knew that John Mornan's wedding was the previous week, he could have come up to Kilmiley fairly confident. I tell you, I called the training session for the Sunday after Joe's wedding on the Friday, to try and see what I straighten them out a week before the Blarney match. I had to come back straight away on the ferry. I think I was back in the next ferry. I missed one ferry. Three fellas turned up, I think, so.
Okay. You got your answer.
I did. But They are a good. They have three great forwards, haven't they?
Yeah. You have three great forwards, but just go back to Joe Jordan that has sent me the text, and he's a doctor. I was involved with him in UCC, an absolute gentleman. A very, very unlucky Anthony with his own career, because he got called in by Dennis Welch and he made his debut, unfortunately, above in Kilkenny the day that they absolutely pulverised us above in Nolan Park.
The massacre.
And Joe was never heard of again afterwards, unfortunately. Just wrong timing, but he's a fantastic hurler, fantastic clubman. And you saw the part of the text where himself and the manager, Paul O'Leary, and a very great friend of mine, is Martin Lynch, went with the cup out to Padgett Sheehan's. Now, you wouldn't know Padgett, but I know him from coming to Killa with 40 years. He's related to the Scullies here in Killa. An absolute dyed-in-the-wool Blarney man, but got an aneurysm a number of years ago. And Dalo, he was anointed, to be fair. The family had asked me to call to him, and he was on his deathbed, to be fair. But he's pulled through. He was given absolutely no chance of surviving, and he pulled through, and he's still there, and he's in good health now, good spirits. But Joe said it was a very emotional night when they called out with the cup, and he was, just to get a mention on the podcast. And we've just got to be so clear about the live streaming, the importance it is. And we've mentioned this numerous times about there's a generation of people there. You mentioned your father-in-law earlier on about being able to sit at home and watch the match on television. The GAA and clubs and county boards have got to take this on board now and keep spreading the gospel, as far as we're concerned, out to our communities, because everybody's got a smart TV now. Everybody over time will be able to link in and connect it to the television. So but to get the message from Joe, they'd obviously seen the match as well live streamed afterwards, a replay of it. But it just shows you what it does for a community to win, and the people behind the community that are doing massive, massive work. So going back to your first question about the three lads, look, we know about Coleman. He's an exceptional talent. He's an All-Star already. He's no All-Ireland middle one, but he's an All-Star. That'll tell you the esteem he's held in. But Shane Barrett is without question, I put him slightly ahead of Paddy Power at the moment, right? He has it all now. This fella, left and right, a good mover, great sidestep. Pat Ryan's under 20 team this year now is so critical, because you have Power, you have Barrett, and you have Alan Connolly. And I'd say if Pat was looking at his team at the start of the year, they'd have been on the radar, but they may not have been on the radar that high up, because I think Paddy Power may have been on the panel last year. But I think they have, like any fella that is playing with form, you have got to give them serious, serious consideration. And this, again, is down to the championship format, the group stages, getting your footing in, and then getting into the knockout stages. And when it comes to the knockout stage, Richie Keller made the point that, their semi-final game against Aaron Zone was their first knockout game. He'd still be looking at the three group games as partially knockout as well at the same time. But I think the format has proved that the more games you get, the more high-quality games players can get, the better they'll improve. Some fellas will fall by the wayside, and that's fine. That's no fault of their own. But for the likes of Joran and his management team at senior level, the more often they see fellas in the cold face of championship to prove and continuously prove that they're good enough for the step up, that is the key thing for me. Barrett is a serious operator. Paddy Power is very, very good, but he's still a little bit more to travel, I think, than Barrett.
Hello. Yeah, I liked him. TJ, you're still with us, boy. Fair play.
I got to go. My driver is here, right? I'm heading to Yates, right? If anybody's available, call on to Yates, lads. I'll buy you a drink and a slice of pizza, yeah? But I got to go.
TJ, if you get JP to get a loan to the helicopter for an hour and send down for lenders after he collects some petty powers, you won't have to worry about buying a drink in Yates, Lodge, I tell you.
You have my number, TJ. I am available. I have the passport from herself. I will travel.
See you later.
Good luck.
Well done, TJ.
Good luck, TJ.
Well
done. Enjoy.
Yeah, fair play. Like, Jesus, I tell you, I thought he was a bit chuck-looking at the start, but he stayed with us great there, in fairness to him.
Brilliant.
Lads, you want to see him on the field just to know. I know you were caught up watching the final. He was, I could only think of the fella from Pellas Green he started the row. But Jesus, Barry Cullinane used to play midfield for Galway in the football. He must be 6'5 now. Yeah. 6'6" maybe. Well, he took off after him, and TJ was backpedaling, but he was still John and smiling at your man. It's classic stuff now. It's classic stuff. Like, you know, talk about getting under their skin. He's gifted. And then you meet him on the Monday morning here on this Zoom call, and he's the greatest gent you ever meet, like, you know. But anyway, sure. Monday morning quarterbacks, we're all that, aren't we? But like, on that, Jordan, Mark has banged the drum, and I mentioned it this morning as well. Like, and obviously, Mark planted the seed, and the streaming was a necessity for us this year because we weren't allowed to go. But there is something there, maybe, then. And Mark has made this point to me, Jordan, rather than paying a tenner here and 20 quid for three games, that maybe if the people put out, the GAA put out a package at the start of the year, do you know, that you could see every hurling game if you paid a set fee. Let it be 200 quid, but that you could tune in. Like, because the amount of people, great friend of mine now, John O'Mara, that managed to bridge to three championships before the last two, they're after winning now. John would have won a minor with Clare in 97, Conor Farrell. But John just said to me, Saturday night, he texts me, he said, Jesus, great game there, Dale, are you watching that? Like, do you know, and like, he'd watched the minor final with your own fella popping over pints. Like, there's a lad that just loves curling and would love to tune into a Cork minor final or a Tip minor final or a Galway minor final, Limerick one, whatever. The Kerry final, because John Shane came out as well for a year. And that's the kind of thing that must be looked at going forward, I'd say.
Oh, I think they have to look at it, Dale, because I think there's a huge, the package is there. There's a huge, I think that the GAA, I'd say, didn't know when they went into all this kind of scenario with the streaming and who's covering it. You know, I don't think they knew the world that they were going to open up. And I think even for club players to be in a situation where, like, you know, normally it's the preserve of the intercounty player to be on this, to be on the television and you know, displaying their wares and their talents. There was club players, know, like, you know, from at all levels, you know, when the matches were being streamed, they're on every television sets in houses and pubs, whatever it is, and they got a great, great buzz out of it, like, you know, to be seen in that kind of situation. So it's been fantastic across the country, and there's no doubt, I think, that we've seen the start of it now. There will be definitely packages like this will come on board, and I think great credit to Examiner for what they've done in Cork. I think from a point of view of the games that they've covered, is nothing but being goodwill. I think there's huge quality, and I think it's opened up a huge opportunity for people for things going forward. And just before I go off that, I'll just go back to Mark's point on the on Paddy Sheehan. I knew Paddy when he was working with Ted Castles, driving a van for Justin McCarthy's company there. Ted Castles, great man, really nice guy, and I had last touch, and I had seen him at the matches there for a bit. But I'm delighted to hear Mark's news there that he's brought the cup up to see up to his house, like, you know what I mean. So it was a touch up for Sir Otto Paddy, great guy.
Yeah, great touch by the Blarney players as well. Like, you know, that's the real one, isn't it? Like, you know, that you think about these things. Like, that's the huge thing.
It's great to think of, you know, like, I know though Pedro had a huge influence on a lot of those young lads way back, particularly Joe Jordan, Paul O'Leary, Darren McSweeney, when they were young lads growing up, putting the hurling in their hand for the first time. Like, and, you know, through thick and thin, Padgett would be at every hurling game, you know, and it just, you know, these GAA fellas that turn up to every match. Like, there's another guy, Jory Mackey from Watergrass Hill, Anthony. Every match I've been at this year, he's from Watergrass. He's been at every game. I don't know how he's getting into the matches, but he's getting into them. And I say, how are you, Johnny? Grand. What was the score in that game? Here's the scores now, and here's the stats, and this is the score at halftime. Like, I mean, he'd be a great man to have with you at a match. Like, he's taking the scores here, and who's giving away a freeze and all that kind of stuff. But, like, there is definitely people, and they're only
Jerry,
people.
Jerry could be doing. Hey, come here, Jerry. Jerry could be doing the stats for Killa next year when you go back over. Like,
you get long odds in that one, O'Dale, I can tell you.
You might have been watching the soccer. We were watching the Bears in Castlehaven, and they went to penalties last night. Again, the drama, like, at, you know, at half past 9 o'clock last night to go on like that, like, was incredible. Like, you know what I mean? So from the start yesterday all the way through, this has been phenomenal from the GAA all over the country. You know, that players, club players, can get into the dining rooms of people all over the country hurling and football. I think it's been superb.
But look, just ultimately, Mark, you know, TJ has gone to the Yates Lodge. He has revealed that. I might stroll down in the evening tomorrow. It's 065-90-50-565. They have a credit card machine there. You can get around for the house there as well, right? There'll probably be 13 or 14 in of a Monday evening. You know what I mean? It won't break you, like, but enjoy the extension. Okay. And you'll probably be buying another 2-year-old as well, I suppose, down in Wexford.
Is there any chance now that any of the boys that are meeting you and Mortis might have had a few quid on the advice that we're giving at the start, and they might send a few euros? You know, it's be 10, hey, it's be 10 year anniversary now at the end of the month, like.
Just you didn't rush into it, did you? 10 years married. Oh, my lady's reared. Anyway, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks a million for all the cockness you brought this morning. We always love it. And I suppose we'd have to cover the football final or something like that now as well. Like,
well, that'll be over by the first water break.
Good luck.
See you, dear.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.